Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Fibre. Super fast broadband, perfect for busy homes to be online at the same time.
Now, tomorrow morning, Ryan will be back with you at 9 o'clock, but he won't be here in this very studio. He will be in the window of Arnott's in Henry Street in Dublin. And as I mentioned earlier on, a world of wonder awaits you this Christmas at Arnott's, and they want you to share your most wonderful memories with us. And somebody who can do that right now, hopefully, is Hazel Galvin. How are you, Hazel?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. How are you? You have a Christmas. I did mention earlier on that everybody has a special Christmas memory that sticks out in their mind. What is yours, Hazel?
Well, this was, I suppose, back in the late 70s, early 80s. I was around 4 or 5. And myself and my three brothers were massive Evel Knievel fans. Now, I'm an only girl with three brothers.
So Evel Knievel. Younger listeners can check that up on Google. Go ahead, yeah.
Exactly. And so Christmas morning, my older brother got an Evel Knievel. It was a stunt set. It was a bike and you could do all these stunts on it. And it was like, we were all so jealous, myself and my other two brothers. It was like the highlight of Christmas morning. And I remember I got a trike and wasn't massively impressed. So egged on by the other three messers, I brought it up to the top of the landing in the house. And as a wannabe Evel Knievel stunt performer,
ooh,
I sailed straight down the stairs on my trike and out through the glass pane beside the front door and landed on the trike in the garden. And yeah.
Hold on a second. I was looking at stuff here for nice Christmas stories. Did you end up in the same as we had our last guest, traction in hospital?
No, I was so lucky that I didn't destroy my face. I have a gash. I had to go and get stitched. So my brothers refer to it as my Evel Knievel scar that I have. I was really lucky that I didn't.
What about your Evel? Wait a minute, your Evel Knievel brothers? Did they do this kind of thing often? Poor old stupid Hazel. She'll do it.
Oh, they scarpered. They were nowhere to be seen. Yeah, and my poor parents just heard this commotion. They were in the kitchen and they just heard this commotion and literally found me sitting upright on the trike in the front garden, glass everywhere. And yeah, I was happy out.
Okay, you were happy out. But just as a matter of interest, Christmas is a month these days. It's certainly a few days. So that wasn't on actually Christmas Day, was it?
Oh, this was Christmas morning.
This was your first go of the Evel Knievel bike down the stairs through the glass window. Wow.
So I don't remember if we got Christmas dinner because we had to go to the local hospital then, so I had to get stitched. So it was,
All right, well, listen, for your injuries, whatever, and I don't care about your brothers, you've got yourself a Max Snowball collection hamper. It's makeup stuff worth 500 euros.
Oh, my God.
So we'll send that out to you. Well done, Hazel. Super. Thank you very much indeed, and happy Christmas to you.
Thanks.
Very good.
You too. Happy Christmas, James.
Okay, Sinead Tracy, how are you, Sinead?
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
I'm very good indeed. What is your Christmas story memory thingy?
Well, my story is a very recent one, and I think it'll be a memory forever. My husband and I were at our first Christmas party a couple of weeks ago, and we were, the Christmas party was in Lara in County Wicklow.
Oh, I know it well. It's in between Clara Vale and Rathdrum.
I'm not too sure.
It is actually, yeah. Listen, it's near the Lara Farra Fun Park, or whatever it's called, the Lara Clara Fun Park.
Yes,
anyway,
exactly.
Go on, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were due to do a 5.5 hour hill walk on the Saturday morning, and then our Christmas party was to be that night in the Wicklow Heather.
Mm-hmm.
And we were travelling up from Leitrim, and my sister was travelling down to Leitrim. So my sister gave us the use of her apartment in Shank Hill.
Right.
And we went up on the Friday night, and stayed there and headed out for our walk. And we had a great walk while we were soaked and we were cold and all the rest. But anyway, we had our party that night. And on the Sunday, when I got home, I texted my sister to thank her for the use of her apartment and tell her that we left it exactly as she had given it to us and that it's a perfect da-di-da.
Yeah.
And the next thing, I got a WhatsApp message from her and she asked me, what the heck? Well, wasn't quite what the heck, it was a bit stronger. Were we up to in her apartment, in her bedroom?
Right.
So she had attached a photo, and the photo was of my husband's underpants attached to the clock in the bedroom.
I'm wondering, should we continue with this? Should we just leave it at that
it's
and say that's pretty weird?
Okay,
here's a prize, go away.
Okay, no, don't worry.
Give us the last bit then, the coda.
Okay, the last bit is, I texted her back immediately and I said, I have no idea what that's about, I promise, and there's no way Kieran would do anything like
that.
Wait
a minute, that's even weirder that you don't even know how a pair of underpants of your husband's ended up in your sister's place.
On the clock. Yeah, okay. So anyway, she texted me back and said, please tell me there isn't a poltergeist in my apartment. Check, ask Kieran, does he know anything about it? So I went downstairs and I asked him and he couldn't stop laughing. He was nearly choking. I nearly had to resuscitate him. And what happened was we had gone to bed on Friday night. I had fallen asleep instantly and he couldn't sleep with the ticking of the clock on the wall. So he got up in the dark. He didn't want to waken me. Got up in the dark, grabbed the first piece of clothing that he could find, which was his underpants, he didn't realise, and he wrapped them around the clock to move the clock out from the wall.
Because he said
the wall was acting as a sounding board.
I see. Now it's beginning to make some kind of sense.
For the clock.
Did you ask him, did it actually quieten the ticking?
Oh, it did. He got to sleep. He had a great night's sleep before the walk.
If you ever want to get a bit of a ticking on a clock, just use your underpants. Okay, well, look, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to give you a clock, but I am going to give you Robert's Stream 94i. Is that right? Yeah, internet radio worth €229. So congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed. Well done,
Sinead. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Very good, Sinead. We'll go to one last one here. Kevin.
Happy Christmas.
Sorry, happy Christmas to you. Oh, my God, yes. Happy Christmas. Kevin. Kevin.
Dave, how's things?
Things are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Tell me your story. What's the story, Kevin?
Well, my story goes back quite a few years to 1993, and I was working teaching English in Greece, but my contract came to an end, and I was going to fly back to Dublin from Thessalonica. But the flight was delayed because of heavy fog.
Thessalonica, I spent a month in Thessalonica with Jerry Ryan.
Yeah.
I could tell you a few stories there. Go on. Yeah, sorry. You're in Thessalonica. Thessalonica, you're coming back, yeah?
Yeah, the fog was pretty thick, so it lingered for about 6 hours, and as a consequence, my flight was delayed. When I got into London, my connecting flight to the Dublin was well gone, you know. So I got a flight, as it happens, from British Midlands, and that just about got me into Dublin. But I had no way getting back to Galway, so I got to Bus Aras to get a bus, see if I could get a lift down to. Back west.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it was like close to midnight at that stage.
What'd be going? Would there be a mail train going at that time, or what would?
I thought there might have been. So I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll try to get down to Houston. If there's a mail train, I'll try to catch that.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, by the time I got to the station, it was gone. And I did get a lift from a taxi driver, who was a very nice guy, and he kind of took pity on me, and he said, look, hang on there for a second, and I'll go in and see if there's anything left to catch to get a Galway. And he came back a few minutes later with a big beaming smile on his face and said, look, there's a mail train, you can get that, but you got to rush, there's no lighting or heating, but it needs to get a seat. So I was absolutely delighted, and he wouldn't even take the fare off me at that stage. He just said, look, get on the train, happy Christmas, and all the best. And about 2:30 that morning, I managed to get to the house and put the key in the door. And there was my mother waiting up for me, saying, I knew you'd get back, Kevin, but we weren't sure in the end. But anyway, that's a crash.
Yeah, that's either like Planes, Trains and Automobiles or like
it
Chris Rea
did,
driving
yeah.
home for Christmas. So all the way with missing the flight, more or less, from northern Greece.
Well, I missed
from,
the flight, yeah. And
then late into London, then connection to Dublin, British Midland, help you do all of that. Then you get to the airport
very
bus.
Kind. People, yeah, so the thing is that, you know, people at Christmas time can be very, very helpful and very, very kind of Christian, I suppose.
Okay,
I had that experience.
Like a little bits of nice feeling all the way through, but the most important one is putting the key in the door and seeing your mother's face.
Put the key in the door. Yeah. And she wasn't that surprised to see me. I think I was calling her throughout the day, so I was going to give him the bad news.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to make it, but I eventually saw her. She was quite relieved.
Yeah, but you had called home to Galway from Greece saying you're going to get a later flight.
I had to,
knowing.
I was kind of not knowing. And I got to London thinking, well, I'll be stuck in London. Then I got on the flight.
Yeah.
And I got to Dublin, I think, well, I'll be stuck in Dublin. Then I got to Houston and, you know, I said,
well,
I got back.
Your story from 25 years ago. So for that, Bang & Olufsen, Play A2, €399 worth of prize. It's a portable speaker thing and all the rest. Congratulations and thanks a million for that, Kevin Callanan.
Thanks very much.
Good luck, Kevin.
Thank
Take
you.
It easy.